and welcome to Coffee Talk with Lena Midla, where wellness, wisdom, and a little bit of woo come together. So go ahead and pour yourself a cozy cup and join me for conversations that inspire, empower, and help you unleash your limitless potential. Hey friends, Lena here, and welcome back to Coffee Talk with Lena Midla. Today's episode is steeped in nourishment, ritual, and reconnection. With nature, with our bodies, and with the deep wisdom within us, I am joined by Anne Christina Evers, founder of Wild Sage Tea Company, and we're talking about how a simple cup of tea can become a powerful act of healing and empowerment. Anne Christina and I are in the same amazing local women's business networking group, and I can tell you firsthand, her work is the real deal. In fact, my holiday gift for clients this past year were a couple of her teas that we chose together, and I've got to tell you, my clients were obsessed. You better believe we're working on a custom blend for contrast therapy events coming to the new Limitless Studio as well. What else can I tell you about Anne Christina? Born and raised in Denmark, Anne Christina holds a master's in international studies and intercultural communication. After moving to the U.S. in 2012, she followed her passion for health and became a holistic health coach with deep study in both functional and herbal medicine. She launched Wild Sage Tea Company in 2021 with a mission to reconnect modern-day people, especially women, with the healing power of herbs. She's now a dual Danish-American citizen, a wife, a mom to three incredible teen daughters. And in this episode, we're gonna dive into how herbs help us return to our most intuitive, cyclical, and connected selves, and how simple tea rituals can anchor us through every phase of womanhood. So grab your mug, get cozy, and let's pour in. Anne Christina, I'm so happy you're here. Let's begin with your journey. You were born and raised in Denmark, had a career in international education, and then followed your heart toward holistic health. How did herbalism become a part of your calling?
Hi, Lena. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. So how did herbalism become part of my calling? Great question. I think for a lot of us, herbalism is more anchored in our ancestry than we may be aware. No matter where your ancestors are from in the world, whether it's Europe, Africa, South America, North America, there are deep traditions of herbalism in every community and every culture. And so I just find that very fascinating, kind of going back a couple of generations. Those were the types of medicines that were available to people. So whether it was our great-grandmothers or our great-great-great-great-great-grandmothers, they probably used herbal medicine as part of their everyday life because that's what they had available. so they truly had that connection to the earth a lot more than we do today, unfortunately. So for me, I grew up in a home where my parents were very, they were gardeners, they loved growing their own foods, they grew garden herbs. You know, when we were sick, my mom would give us chamomile tea, which is why my relationship to chamomile is a little strained. Not that I don't love her for all her amazing properties, but personally, I just have that connection to being sick and then sipping on tea. So, other than that, yeah, I like you said, moved to the U.S. about a decade ago, a little more than a decade ago, and really got to follow that passion of mine that I've had since I was a teenager, too, of like just, this whole concept of like food is medicine, herbs, and how what we put into our body can just truly like nourish us in such a deep way. And I always found that fascinating. I remember being a teenager and reading about, different natural remedies and how different foods and different herbs could do different things in our bodies. And then, of course, I went about my life. I got my education and, was steeped in, diet culture and weight loss and all that kind of stuff that kind of pulled me away from that more deep connection to truly being nourished and truly being connected. you know, when you're focused on things like weight loss and it's not healthy and it really pulls you away. So thankfully moved away from that. And just was, you know, as in my studies in nutrition and health and well-being and, you know, all the things holistic, kind of when you're on that journey, you go down a lot of different paths. So I was studying functional medicine. Herbal medicine was really where I found a really deep connection. And that's what ultimately, like you said, led me to found Wild Sage Tea Company. And I actually did that with a fellow health coach friend of mine that I had met during my studies. And we were both kind of, it was right after COVID, seeing clients was hard because we, you know, the whole Zoom thing wasn't really quite a thing yet. And I really always enjoyed connecting with people in person as well. But we had both started studying herbal medicine or gone down this path kind of independently of each other. So it felt a little serendipitously that we kind of then randomly met up and this idea arose of a tea company where we wanted to create blends that would help people. Some of, you know, we were all seeing similar symptoms in our clients. You know, everyone had digestive issues. Everyone had inflammation. Everyone was stressed and they had trouble sleeping. And so we were like, okay, how can we create tea blends where we can balance the flavor and the function so that it's something that people will enjoy drinking, but that will also help with their issues in a very gentle yet effective way. And I think that's why I love herbs so much too, is that they are very gentle, but very effective. And sometimes people are surprised, like we'll have customers be like, oh, this tea really helped. Like I just had one cup and I could feel the difference. Right. And it was like, yeah, that's kind of what herbs do. They really are truly magical that way. And that's not to say that everyone will see, obviously, a relief from symptoms by drinking a cup of tea. But, and you know, everyone's individual, you know, different and individuals and all that, but herbs are really, they really are effective and they really do help. So yeah, I love that. And then, yeah, I just love incorporating them in my everyday life and just now having the knowledge about a lot of the herbs. And again, I'm not, you know, I feel like in this work, you're always going to be a lifelong learner because there are literally so many herbs to learn about. That there's no way you can't, you know, I learn new things about herbs that I think I know very well every day. Like I didn't realize that that herb also did that. Like the actions of herbs are so multifaceted. And yeah, that's one thing I just love to keep learning about what they do and what they do for different people. Like some people have, you know, very distinct experiences with certain herbs, and then other people don't really, they gravitate more towards other herbs and their functions. So yeah, it's all fascinating to me.
Oh, it's so cool. I think that especially when you're consuming living, breathing, well, in their own respiratory way, but living things, they bring their own intelligence into your environment. I know that's a thing that's talked about a lot in like different plant medicine circles when it comes to the power of adaptogens and mushrooms and botanicals and herbs, is that it's not like just a dried out dead thing that you're consuming. It has its own intelligence and magic. I think I've heard you use before that the plants are magical.
Right. And they meet you where you're at. And that's the thing, you know, with every plant, they kind of meet you where you're at. So that's why you'll see, you know, like a drug like Tylenol typically works the same in everyone, right? Like we can have different reactions to it, you know, as a pharmacological product, but it works to relieve pain. That's the function. Whereas with herbs, like they can really meet us more where we're at in our individual situations. And so that's why they have general actions, but sometimes, yeah, people have different experiences and some have very strong experiences and some don't with certain herbs. So, yeah.
Oh, I love that. And that kind of yields to kind of my next kind of question for you. I love that this gravitation towards herbs has historical significance for you, personal significance, and it's so powerful. And your story, as you shared, it really reflects that herbalism isn't just about remedies and symptom relief, but it seems to have it's about like reconnecting with yourself, with your heritage, with your with just like the ancestral wisdom that has gotten passed down across the globe generation by generation. So when did you realize that herbs could be, in addition to all of the like digestive, helping with digestion, helping with sense of calm, at what point were you kind of like, oh, this is really interesting. This is a, not just something that's good for me nutritionally, but potentially a pathway to a more intuitive and embodied way of being.
Right. I mean, it's probably hard for me to pinpoint exactly when sort of I had those realizations, but definitely as I got more into the herbal medicine path, you know, kind of moving from functional medicine where ultimately, you know, in some ways you go from a pill for every ill to a supplement for every symptom kind of a thing. And that's when you lose out on, like, again, that connection to nature and to the plants and to the history. Our history as humans, when we just kind of extract, like curcumin, for example, like you just extract these certain compounds of the plants and then you utilize them medicinally. And I'm not saying that's wrong or that that shouldn't be done, but you do lose kind of the whole picture of, you know, herbal medicine and what it was really originally intended to do. I think, you know, it's really like you're out in nature too. And I think, you know, that's another thing that's so powerfully healing, you know, it's just being out in nature, being around the plants, and whether you choose to grow your own herbs or you know, grow your own plants or your own food or whatever you choose to do, whatever your path is, just feeling like you have that connection somehow. And that's what we wanted to try and bring to people is, you know, a way where maybe you're busy. You don't want to grow herbs. You don't want to, you know, have a garden. You don't have time for, you know, nature hikes every week. But what is a way where we can bring some of those healing powers of the herbs through teas into people's lives, where it's like we say modern day people, because we understand that, you know, there are people who, you know, live in homesteads and who are deeply connected to nature. But some of us live in suburbia, and mm-hmm. I do have a garden. I do grow herbs and I do grow food, but I also, you know, I live in suburbia. So I too need that connection. It's like, again, meeting people where they're at and giving them some, you know, options.
That's amazing. It feels to me that like when you look at food and herbs as not just things that taste good, feel good, look good, but also have all of these non-tangible benefits of improving mood, improving wellness, improving even just the ritualization of tea. If you look at that, I'm sure historically, like tea service across so many different cultures, there's like the water's got to be heated to a certain temperature. You have to steep it for a certain period of time. There's planning involved in that. There's sitting down, waiting for it to get cool, the way that you hold a cup, the kind of cups that you have. And in addition to the actual, like, these are all of like the flavonoids and antioxidants and all the things found in all the different herbs, there has to be something in the ritual of it changing your nervous system state, asking you to sit and push pause and be slow and to use your nose and your taste and feel the warmth of the cup and the whole process of it. It feels to me like it then invites the herbs to do what they do, because you're in the act of receiving. You're not just like on the go, like scrambling, like give me a triple latte stat and I'm going to like chug it while I'm like on to the next thing.
Exactly. Yes, you are exactly right. That is exactly what we're trying to really communicate to people and really inspire people to do. Take that break, whether you get to take it as you start your day, during the afternoon after a long day, or at night when a lot of people like to consume tea, but taking that conscious, intentional ritual of like feeling into your body and being like, what do I need? Like, what are my taste buds in the mood for? And what is my body craving in terms of like, what's going on? Like, am I having digestive upset after lunch? Do I need something to help with digestion? Am I feeling frazzled just because I'm busy and stressed? And do I need something to calm my nervous system? Or what's going on in my life? Am I on my cycle and I'm feeling uncomfortable and crampy and I just need something to soothe that? But taking that moment to feel in and then choosing your tea and taking the time to brew it, because as people may notice, if they look at the back of our labels, we recommend a fairly long steeping time for a lot of our teas. So it's like 10 to 15 minutes. So,
oh, wow.
It really can't be rushed. I mean, you can let, and some of them, you can certainly let them steep for a shorter time, but you know, 2 to 3 minutes for some of the teas really isn't going to extract enough of the nutrients and medicines in there. So it is a little bit like you kind of have to take that time. And that's a hard thing to do in our modern day lives because we are on the go and we are busy. So kind of being forced to sit and wait for your tea to steep, I think is probably a healthy thing to do sometimes, right? Like just, again, so when you get to actually sip it, it's like, oh, you took the time, you had the ritual, you asked your body what it needed, you brewed that up, and then now you get to sip it. And you can take it on the go or use that ritual however you want. Maybe you can combine it with a meditation, or as you're working on the computer, having something comforting to sip. I think can just be like a really powerful ritual throughout the day. And that's definitely like the feedback that we get from people. It's always fun to hear stories, you know, about how they drink the different teas and when they drink them and there are different experiences. I love that.
Oh, that's awesome. I love the idea too of, as somebody myself who is working on but has had challenges with meditation in its purest form, in finding just stillness, I've always found an easier pathway for me has been through movement. So finding movement meditations that allow me to kind of turn, like be fully immersed in the task that I'm doing and be open and slow and easing my way into meditation that way. And it feels to me like a tea ritual is such a great opportunity for that. If you get into the actual, like, and listen, not every cup of tea is going to be a ritual, but
right.
if you get into a routine of in this moment, I hit, you know, I put the kettle on the stove or I turn on the electric kettle and then I decide what tea I want and I measure it out and I'm letting this be a quiet process where I'm listening to music or, hearing the birds outside the window or whatever, and allow this to be, it's an opportunity to like stack hacks together. If you're looking at it, even like through like a biohacking lens of, okay, we're all told we need more space. We need more stillness. We need more contemplation in our lives. Being like a type A person myself, it feels almost like a cheat code to be like, but I'm doing something and I'm doing something that is also going to benefit me on so many levels at the same time as working through quiet and stillness and patience as something is brewing.
Right. And maybe it's just once you sit down, like after everything you describe, I mean, that's wonderful. And then you sit down and you're like, okay, I'm just going to sit here and sip this cup of tea. And while I do that, I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to, you know, whether you meditate or just let your mind rest for a minute. And then when you're done, when the tea is done, you can get up and get going and do all the things. But just take that time intentionally while you sip the tea. Let that medicine get into your body. and then get up and go when you're done. And it can be 10 minutes, right? It doesn't have to be, you know, I'm always like, when I hear people like, oh, I do half an hour meditations. I'm like, I can't even say. Yeah, that does not resonate. I mean, it sounds great, but something that is, I think, with all this kind of stuff, it's about how can we help people create rituals that are sustainable and actually doable, right? Mm-hmm. And like you said, sometimes it's like you just want that cup of tea. Maybe you're going somewhere and you want, you know, if it's the winter time, you want a warm drink to take with you on your long drive, whatever it is. But still, just, you know, once you've had those experiences, you can also place anchors to be like, oh, okay, now I remember I sat and I had this experience with this particular tea and the smell, the scent, and the taste. And so next time you have it, you may not be in a position to sit down and take that quiet moment, but maybe just still as you're sipping, like a little bit of that anchors in, and you can tap into that. So it's not about having to do it every single time, but mm-hmm. just trying to use it as a intentional tool.
I think. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Really powerful.
Amazing. Okay. So a question that I kind of want to back up and ask is, I want to explore tea specifically. So as you were going through your own health education process, through functional medicine, through herbology, why drink herbs? What is the physiological benefit? How does that support us in a different way? Or why did you take your passion for herbology and lean into tea specifically?
Right. I think a lot of different reasons. Number one, I've always loved tea personally. So I've always been into tea, even when it was, you know, before I got into loose leaf, I would have, you know, all the packages of, like, I don't know, so many packages of teas, all different kinds. You know, I always try to choose organic. So I always love teas. And in terms of herbal medicine, yeah, there's definitely different ways to take in the medicine of the herbs. You know, there's tinctures, there's capsules, powders, different ways you can utilize the herbs. And I love all of them in different ways. But again, personally, I find that teas, it's such an easy gateway to get the medicine because, you know, taking a tincture that's, you know, like typically like an alcohol-based tincture, mm-hmm. We often think of that as a stronger medicine. If you're trying to really get a specific benefit from an herb for a specific symptom, tinctures can be helpful. But what I love about teas are, number one, that you get, so when you do a tincture, just to go back, when you extract herbal medicine from a plant using alcohol, is when you make a tincture, you're essentially extracting the compounds of the plant materials, whether it's a root or leaves or whatever it is you're making. And again, that's great. That's wonderful. But what I love about the tea is that you take the whole plant and you steep it. So it's just, I don't know, for me, and this is my personal opinion, but I just love the idea of like having the plant and like taking out, you know, its medicines, its properties, its nutrients through just water, you know, like it's so simple. And like I said, so gentle, but yet effective. And so a lot of people are like, oh, you know, it seems like, oh, what is a cup of tea going to do? But the truth is that teas can be such powerful medicines, and people think they have to take like all these pills and like compounded herbal supplements and tinctures and stuff. And you don't always need that. Sometimes, especially if you're new to all this, like starting with teas, it's just, yeah, like I said, like a nice gateway to some of those benefits and some of that connection. And again, like going back to the ritual, like it's not, I do take tinctures as well. I do take capsules. That's not really a ritual to me in the same way that making my teas and having that experience of like the scents and, you know, breathing in, you know, the volatile essential oils as they're releasing as you're letting the tea steep. So I really love that aspect of it. But again, that's not to categorize or say one thing's better than the other. It's just, yeah, it's just different.
Mm-hmm. It sounds to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that like if you're turning to an herbal tincture or something that's pulverized into capsule form or something like that, that feels to me a little bit more acute. Like you've got something going on that is in that moment a concern or heightened or you want to work on, and this is like that it's more aggressive, it's more of like a push. Whereas it seems to me that drinking tea is more of a consistent practice invitation of allowing whatever it wants to do, whatever it needs to do in your system to do, but you're not coming at it necessarily with a ton of intentionality of like, I'm going to drink this tea and this blemish on my face is going to like disappear versus right. If I'm drinking these teas over time, it's going to cleanse my liver and my GI tract's going to get better. And then my skin is going to glow over time because I've been supporting it with plants, with herbs. Is that how you would tease that apart?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. And again, like we talked about, like that whole experience, like you just get to experience a plant differently. Like taking in something like lemon balm in a tea is very different from taking it in a tincture, because you just, you don't know what it really, you can get a sense of what it tastes like, smells like, not really because it's the alcohol, but yeah, you just get to experience the plant a bit more intimately.
Mm.
And I've definitely had experiences where I have found a stronger effect with a tea than with a tincture. And again, I don't think physiologically that's necessarily the case, but I think it's, yeah, the experience of like the scent, the taste, the ritual, and then feeling like, yeah, I felt that a lot more than I did when I took that plant as a tincture.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there are times when, you know, ginger, for example, like I have my 16-year-old who is not a tea drinker, and I really can't get her to like tea, and that's okay too. Like I'm, you know, I think if you, you know, you can only do so much, right? So, mm-hmm. But you know, if she has any digestive upset or she has like period pain or something where I'm like, here are the teas I would make you drink. But since you don't want to do that, here are some capsules with ginger, and that's going to help you. Mm-hmm. And so again, there's a time and a place for everything. Absolutely.
Very cool. It also kind of just dawned on me too, that when you're drinking tea, it's almost an opportunity because you're slowing down, because even like, because it's hot, like you have to be slow. It invites mindfulness, and mindfulness is a way that we ground ourselves and anchor in the present. And we're unable to heal from anything if we feel unsafe. And so I'm wondering, so one of the tactics that I use with clients when we're working through a more complex healing journey, whether it's physically, whether it's, you know, emotional or traumatic things that have forced sensations of pain through the body, is developing mindfulness practices to bring yourself into the present moment. There's a quote, I think it's been misaccredited to like multiple people over time, but the essence of it is that depression lives in the past, anxiety lives in the future, and peace lives in the present. Gross oversimplification, but the point of that message is that when we're able to anchor ourselves in the present, we and get a chance to like take in our surroundings and feel safe, then we start to hear things, then the healing process can begin. And so I'm wondering, in those instances, like we're in a culture of like, more is always better. Like if a cup of tea will do this to you, imagine if we distilled it down to its like essence and you took it as a shot every day. And we see this with like red light all the time too, where people are like blasting themselves with like high magnitudes or super high heat, and really the art is in all of it. It's in the container. It's in the dose. And sometimes more of a push doesn't mean safer. It doesn't mean better. And I'm wondering if the invitation of a cup of tea and having to like slow down and deal with the fact that it's hot, that it smells good, that you like the taste, that you don't like the taste, all of that invites you to settle. And then whereas if you pop a pill, like you just take a capsule, I don't know. I do so without water most of the time, but like at most you swig some water and then you're on with your day, but the mindfulness isn't there. If you're still in like a hypervigilant state or you're still in a stress state, you're not necessarily winding down enough for that to get assimilated properly into your body. And I don't know how much of this is like an old wives' tale or not, but with my family growing up, one of the things that we always talk about is that like you don't eat on the go, you don't eat in a rush, you don't eat angry, because all of those things turn like you're tense, you're tight, you're not bringing blood flow to the right areas, you're not able to like really like lean into all the processes, and it feels like to me that tea is an opportunity for that. It's a forced slowdown.
Right. You can't really do it unconsciously. Like, it's not something you do during a busy day where you're just kind of half aware of, like, just pouring something into a cup and steeping it and chugging it. It just doesn't really work that way. And I always use it as a check-in in myself when I'm like, by the end of the day, and I'm like, my body needed herbs today, and I didn't even take the time. Because I was so busy and so go, go, go that cup of tea that I thought about earlier that I really needed, I didn't make it because I didn't have the time. I didn't take the time, right? And then so I'm always like, that was interesting. That was me today, huh? Is that how I want my tomorrow to be? Or do I want it to be differently? Do I want to make sure that when my body nudges me, and again, going back to like, really working on that connection to our intuitive selves as women specifically. When my body nudges me for something, I'm like, do I listen? Do I take the time to actually listen? Even if it means taking 15 minutes out of my busy schedule to just make that tea and just take the time, you know, because chances are I'm probably not going to be more efficient as I'm running around like a headless chicken, not taking the time. And then by the end of the day, being frazzled and tired and just, you know, in a different state than what I would have been if I had actually taken the time to just do that ritual and just do that check-in.
Oh, 100%. I think that's so poignant. I saw in the Reiki master that I've seen since I was 4 years old in her office, there was a poster, and I'm gonna misquote slightly because I can't remember exactly what it is, but essentially it's like, on a good day, it's great to get in like 30 days or 30 minutes of meditation. When you're crazed and you're busy and things are stressful and feel out of control and you don't have any time, you need to take an hour for meditation. And like when every time I see that, like on one level, it would make me like mad. Like, how could you possibly find an hour to take to like slow down and meditate? But in this meditation course that I took back in the fall, and to your point, when you carve out the space for even 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you're somehow it's not linear. Like, you're not getting 20 minutes back. Like, you're getting like an hour back. Like, when you press time out or pause and slow down, it on some level you're worried that you're wasting time, but in reality, when you give yourself the time to pause and reflect, you're actually going to become more productive. You're going to let things, because you have the space to think and feel into things. Like, why am I even worried about this thing? Or you get clarity. Like, oh my gosh, why was I worried about picking up my kid when I can ask, you know, our next door neighbor who's going to the same place to do that for me, and then I don't have to drive across town. But unless you stop and pause and just sit with it, you're robbing yourself
Right.
of
It's your mental
time.
capacity, right? It's expanding that mental capacity. And it's the same with like with exercise, like physical activity. It's like having weeks where you are so busy. That was me like last week and actually also this week, where I didn't make it to the gym that day and the other day and the next day. And as the days progressed, I was feeling shit and here about myself. Even though I was like, oh, shoot, today I just have too much going on. I just can't take that hour and a half out in the morning because it's just going to make me start everything so late and blah, blah, blah. And as the week progressed, yeah, I just could feel it in my body how I did not have the resilience. I was getting more tired. Like my body wasn't being moved. Like all those benefits, I was robbing myself of all those benefits and everything they provide. And so again, it was just like, you think you're trying to save time and you're really not. Like you're really doing yourself such a disservice by not prioritizing. And of course, there's going to be days like that. There's going to be days where we do nothing perfectly and we miss all the milestones and all the steps and all the things we want. And that's okay too. But then, okay, how can we then try to get back the next day and getting on that different trajectory that, is really what we know make us feel the best.
100%. And that's, that's a battle that we all are in constant play with, week after week, is what are the non-negotiables? What things are actually going to give me energy? What things are actually going to add to my life experience? What things are actually going to fill my tank so that I can fill into others as well? I want to shift gears just a little bit, and I'm going to ask a little bit more. I'd love for you to break down a few of your favorite herbs. Like if you were to create, well, you've already created the teas, but give me some of like your favorite herbs of the moment right now, what their benefits are, maybe what they smell like, what they taste like. Just give us a sense of, yeah, some of your favorites.
So I think for me personally, as a woman in her 40s, perimenopause, there are definitely herbs that I'm becoming much more aware of. And for me, it's the nervines and the adaptogens. So those are two classes of herbs that I think every woman should probably familiarize themselves with if possible. But the nervines, definitely one of my favorite classes of herbs. As the name indicates, they support the nervous system. So there are herbs like chamomile, lemon balm, lavender, oat straw, so many of them. And again, they're gentle yet effective to really help shift your nervous system, that soft, gentle nourishment that we all need probably every day. For a nervous system. And one of my favorites is lemon balm. And she's a nervine. And she's also known as traditionally as the gladdening herb because while she's calming and nourishing, she's also uplifting to the spirit, not in like a euphoria type of way where it's like, oh, I feel, but it's like just this gentle, like little nudge towards like just a happier state. And it's something like in the afternoon when I'm like, I just need a little bit. So we have a tea blend that has green tea, lemon balm, and lemongrass. And it's when I don't want like a full-on caffeine hit from like say coffee, but I need a little something to get me going. So like the green tea and then the lemon balm, I find it's just such a powerful combination. But yeah, those herbs are really, yeah, the nervines are amazing. And then adaptogens. Many people have heard of like, the mushrooms are becoming really popular, like reishi mushroom is an adaptogen, ashwagandha, holy basil is one of my favorites.
Oh, I love Tulsi. It's my
She is
favorite.
also, yep, Tulsi is great as a tea. And it's in one of my favorite wild sage tea blends, Serenity for Stress. And yeah, it's just a beautiful herb. And again, like traditionally used in India in Ayurvedic medicine, it's an herb that is revered for her really spiritual connection and like just really helps to ground you and connect to spirit, whatever that means for you. So really, really beautiful. And it's like you can grow, it's a garden herb, like it's a essentially like a basil. I once tried to grow it. I thought I had gotten basil because I wanted some regular basil to make pesto and stuff. And I made the pesto and I'm like, this is different. It's a different flavor of pesto. And it turns out it was holy basil. This was before I knew a lot about, I had not gotten so deep into herbal medicine. I didn't realize I had gotten holy basil and not like the traditional, like Italian basil, Genovese type. So yeah. But yeah, I would say as a tea, but yeah, in food as well. One of my favorites. And again, it just, the adaptogens have, to be classified as an adaptogen, an herb has to have non-specific actions. So they just go in and again, they meet you where you're at. They support your body where it's at and what it's needing. But it really is deeply nourishing to your stress system and your ability to adapt to stress. And again, depending on, are you in like a fight or flight state or are you, what's going on in terms of your stress, physical, mental, whatever, these herbs are really great to nourish you at a deeper level and your stress system. And then I think, digestion, detoxification, again, for women, so many women struggle with digestive issues. And as you're getting older, unfortunately, like stuff goes on that can, all of a sudden, like with hormone changes, you find yourself like reacting differently to different foods and, having digestive upset over things that you were perfectly able to eat before. And then all of a sudden having like not great digestion. So digestive support herbs like ginger is one of my favorites. Lemon balm is actually also a carminative, meaning that it helps calm stomach upset. And again, I think with stress and digestion, again, those are closely connected. You know, if we're in fight or flight, our body basically puts everything else on hold. So like your hormones, your digestion, your detoxification, those things just aren't a priority because you're in fight or flight. So your body is in fight mode and it really can't worry about whether or not you're going to be ovulating or it definitely doesn't want you to be pregnant. And it doesn't want you to focus on digestion or detoxification of hormones or anything like that, because yeah, we're just trying to fight the tiger or whatever your ancestral mind thinks is going on.
When in reality, you're just waiting on an annoying email from, I don't know, your vendor that doesn't use emojis, so you don't know if they're friendly or not, or you had an altercation. It was like our level of tigers and bears is just, it's so sad because our logical thinking brains are like, that's not that huge of a deal, but your nervous system's like, we're gonna die, like we gotta run. Yeah. Don't time to the eat nervous system don't time to digest
right. Yeah, it's crazy. So digestion and then detoxification in terms of being able to detox the hormones, like the estrogen specifically. We have a whole collection of our gut microbiome called the estrobilome that really, its whole job is to help detox the estrogens and expel the estrogens that when we're done using, when estrogen has done its job in the body, we really need it to go away. We need to excrete it through our gut, our liver, and our digestive system ultimately, right? So we have to poop it out. And if our digestion isn't working and our detoxification or detox pathways aren't open, that becomes a problem. And then we can have some of that estrogen recirculate. And then it goes from being good estrogen that does very important functions in the body into transforming into this more toxic form if you reabsorb it. So that's when, like digestive support, liver support can be really important, especially in like perimenopause, menopause women, because yeah, those hormones are tricky. And then we also have the exogenous estrogens from like xenoestrogens, like plastics and our food and our water and all the things that we can control some of it for sure, and some of it is just it's getting into our bodies, whether we like it or not, with our modern lifestyles, unless we live out in the country and grow all of our own food and don't ever interact with other people, and that's really not, any of us. So
Yeah, for sure. So I want to, that reminded me, I wanted to tap into, we've been talking this whole time about loose leaf tea and the process of loose leaf tea and how baggies of tea are just so convenient and easy, and you just pop them into a thing and then you move on with the rest of your day. Talk to me about why your teas are loose leaf.
right, absolutely. And like I said, it's something I, in the past, I was doing. I knew that loose leaf was going to be better, but yeah, just the convenience of like grabbing a bag of tea and, just I was like, I'm just yeah, that just felt like doable at that moment. And so the difference between loose leaf and packaged tea, number one is you're going to get, when you have to get the tea into the small baggies, you have to typically pulverize it. So anytime you break down an herb, you start to, and like pulverize it or make it smaller to fit in the bags, you start breaking down the volatile essential oils. There's a loss of nutrients, et cetera. And then it gets packaged, and who knows how long it sits somewhere in a factory, in a warehouse, until it gets to a store and it eventually gets to your shopping cart and goes home with you. So there's that. And then in recent years, it's really come out. They've done so many studies on the chemicals in the tea bags. So microplastics up to, I think it's like 11 million or 11 billion, like some exorbitant amount of chemicals have been found in these tea bags. And it's insane. And some of them, I remember in the past, I'd gotten those that are like, I think they're plastic, they're little pyramid bags, but they're like,
They're
and
like
now I'm like, oh my
nylon or
gosh, that
something,
was
yeah.
like totally like microplastics galore, probably. And then, there's the glues and the staples and everything. And it just seems so counterintuitive, right? To be, even if you're buying the organic tea and you don't know exactly what those bags are made of. So shifting to loose leaf, I compare it to like, you can get lettuce from the farmer's market or like fresh it from your garden, wherever, like a fresh head of lettuce that you rinse and you cut up. And then you can go to the store and get like the baggaged cut up lettuce that again has been sitting there for who knows how long and has been cut up. So again, the loss of nutrients. And so it's just like, it's pretty evident, that of course there's going to be more nutrients in the fresh head of lettuce that hasn't been packaged up in plastic and sat there for sometimes weeks. And then also I love, like with our blends, you can kind of see the different, you can see all the different herbs in a blend. So like sometimes you scoop up, like I'll just take our Soothe blend. It's our top seller for inflammation. And it has only four ingredients. It has turmeric root, licorice root, ginger root, and rose petals. And so sometimes when you brew that blend, you get more of the, if you're not like conscious in your scooping, like you'll just scoop it up and sometimes you'll get more licorice and you'll have more of a sweet taste, or you'll get more ginger and it's more of a ginger kick, or you'll have more rose petals in that scoop. And so it has more of the floral aroma. So again, it's also like, it's just easier to know the plant as opposed to like a pulverized little scoop that's in a tea bag. And then I totally get the convenience, because again, we need convenience in our lives, and we have to make things easy. But when you have the right equipment to brew your tea, it really isn't harder to do. You just, I mean, there's lots of different steepers. We have some metal stainless steel steepers available where you brew directly in your mug, and it just honestly, it's so easy. The tea has room to flow as opposed to being like packaged up in a little crammed up in a little bag. It has actually room to flow, so you can get all those like nutrients out. So yeah, it really, once again, it's a routine thing. Once you shift your routine and you think, oh yeah, I'll just grab the tea bag, it's easier. You can also get biodegradable tea bags that you can, like if you're traveling or something, that you can just refill your loose leaf into the tea bags and package them up in a little baggy, and then take them with you. But yeah, lose it. It's really a different experience. I mean, if
Yeah.
we have customers that come back, they're like, oh, we didn't realize tea. I never really liked tea. And then I tried one of your bags and I was like, I didn't realize tea could taste like this. Because if you've only ever had, packaged tea. And another thing too with the loose leaf is, or I guess not technically loose leaf, because there are plenty of loose leaf companies that do add flavors, but at Wild Sage Tea Co., we are really intentional about not adding anything but herbs. And we have some blends that have some freeze-dried fruits. But really want people to move away from this altercation of our taste buds, of like with the natural flavors. Because I remember in the past, like I would get all different types of teas, and many of them, even though they're organic, they had like natural flavors, which is a totally unregulated term. So we don't really know what they are. Supposedly they're natural, but they really alter the flavor. So it's like, I remember I used to like this tea that was like a green tea with blueberry, but it was like blueberry flavor. So it had this really strong flavor, blueberry flavor, which I think now, once I've stopped consuming natural flavors, your taste buds really shift. And the same with food, right? Like when you're trying to get people away from like a standard American diet of a lot of like added flavors and added salt and, all that. There's a little bit of a shifting period, but now that I'm not used to it, like when I have a tea that has flavors of any kind, I don't really like it anymore, which is weird because I used to like some of those blends where I'm like, oh, that it tastes good. And not that it doesn't taste bad, but again, it's like we lose that connection with what does nature taste like? What does food taste like without all the stuff that we add to it? And again, especially when we don't know what it is too, as a consumer, it just is, concerning. So yeah, no natural flavors, just the pure flavor of herbs. Is where it's at, in my opinion.
I love that. And Christina, as we're starting to wrap this amazing interview up, I've like so many more questions and so many more things I want to chat about with you. But for a woman who's listening, who's juggling work, family, life, and maybe feels like she's lost in the sauce a little bit, like lost a little bit of herself, what is one invitation that you would extend today to her?
I think as women, like you said, it's so hard to get lost in the weeds of being a mother and being a wife and fulfilling your commitments at work, and where you almost feel like you lose yourself a little bit and you kind of get away from that natural intuitive connection that we are all born with as women. Very strong connection to the earth, very strong connection to our intuition. And, we're getting pulled in all these different directions of like, do this and do that, and you have to do this, and this is what you do to be healthy, and blah, blah, blah. But really finding a way to tune in to your own self and that confidence of knowing that you are your own best doctor, your own best caretaker, like you know best deep down. And then, of course, there are experts and people who can help you and guide you and all of that. But that innermost knowing of like, you do have the wisdom inside of you. So, okay, what could that look like? I mean, again, that could be different for everyone. Maybe it's more time in nature. Maybe it's finding those, physical exercise rituals that help ground you. Whatever it is that for you gives you that time to connect. And again, of course, I would say, try some herbs, try some tea, see if that could be a gateway for you to find more of that nature connection. And also just having a little bit of a little bit of knowledge, or a little bit of like some remedies in your backpack to go to when there's something going on, like, if you have a digestive issues, or you feel inflamed, or you have period cramps, or whatever it is, like knowing, hey, there are some things I can do, and they're actually good for my body, and they're natural, and they're gentle but effective. Would be my suggestion. And of course, as a health coach, I have a million other things, but I really think, before we can figure out what it is, so for everyone, it's going to look different. Some people are going to be really into like physical exercise, working with your body, your physical health. your mental health as well. Like you do all the breath work and the cold plunging and all of that. And everyone's going to be drawn to different things, whether it's like really like dialing in your nutrition and listening to your body. What nourishment does it need to take in? Again, the herbs, if you're drawn to any of what we've been talking about today, like looking into that aspect. There's so many different options, but I think it all starts with like tuning into ourselves and our own knowledge instead of feeling like we have to find all of this external wisdom when really the wisdom lives within each and every one of us.
I love that. And Christina, thank you so much. I feel like this episode has been such a warm and grounding exhale. Before we wrap, because I know so many people right now are going to want to get their hands on your blends. You've been teasing us with them this entire interview. Can you tell people where they can find you and how they can order?
Absolutely. So our online web shop is at wildsageteaco.com. And on social media, we're at wildsageteaco. So those are the best ways to find us.
Great. And we'll link that in the show notes too. So if you're listening to this in the car and you're like, oh my God, I think I memorized. Don't worry about it. Look in the show notes. There'll be a link. It'll go right there.
Right. And we do have a special code for your listeners. It is limitless15 for 15% off any order. And always feel free to reach out, Anne Christina at wildsageteaco.com. Reach out or reach out via social media, however, whatever works for you. If you have any questions or concerns, I love interacting with our customers. That's really the beauty of running a small company. As you know, you really get to connect with people and answer questions and just help guide people. If they're like, I'm overwhelmed. There's these like 14 blends and I don't even know where to start. Like just, you know, reach out and we'll chat. And yeah.
I love that. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think three of them are caffeinated. The rest are non-caffeinated?
Yes, exactly. So we have 11 herbal blends all geared towards supporting different functions in your body, like stress, sleep, immunity, inflammation, digestion, liver support, etc. And then three blends with caffeine for those who want, the caffeine hit or at least a little bit, two green teas mixed with herbs and a black tea. And those three blends all give back to local organizations here in Indianapolis, 10% of sales.
Amazing. And Christina, thank you again for sharing your wisdom, your heart, and your passion for helping women reconnect to themselves through the power of plants. And to you listening, this is your reminder that wellness doesn't have to be complicated. It can start with a single intentional sip. So carve out a moment, steep a cup, and let it become a ritual of presence. Be sure to head to Wild Sage Teaco and use the code LIMITLESS15, that's the number 15, for your exclusive listener discount. And as always, if this episode resonated, subscribe, leave a review, and send it to someone who could use a little grounded magic in their life. Until next time, friends, keep breathing, keep sipping, and keep being your most limitless self. The information shared on Coffee Talk with Lena Midla is for educational and informational purposes only and is not intended as medical, psychological, or professional advice. While we discuss wellness, health, and personal development, nothing in this podcast should be taken as a substitute for professional guidance. Always consult with a qualified healthcare provider before making any changes to your health or wellness routine. The views expressed by guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the host. By listening, you agree to take full responsibility for your own health and well-being.